You're listening to Sound and Nick's Vision on Siren 107.3 FM.
Absolutely, a whole brave new show with the fabulous Nick Elliott. Nick, welcome along to your show.
Hi, Alex. How are you doing?
Fantastic, and great to actually see you here. Now, let's set the scene here. You are an ace photographer, a tremendous photographer who's specialised in pop music artists and rock musicians over the last couple of decades and so on. This show that's actually launching with the Christmas special, which is quite nice, really, because most shows have a Christmas special some way through it. Now, we are launching the whole series with the Christmas special, and it's going to be really relating the music of your own particular years and experiences with many of the artists that you've photographed in action, so to speak.
Yes, it is. It's no particular kind of choice, apart from the fact that they all have very important state with me and a lot of emotional kind of attachment. But some of the selection is involving people that I've worked directly with that have done the kind of traditional Christmas singles or whatever. The classics, as I like to put it. We've not gone into too heavier with the genre.
And I noticed no Wombles either. Yeah,
no, I took a rain check on the Wombles.
Yeah. That's all right.
Yeah, yeah, I did like their live version.
Of course,
though.
Exactly. Mike Batt will be out there thinking, oh, no Wombles. We've got a fantastic selection of tunes. We're not going to actually sort of announce them at this stage, but I'm sure you'll find probably all of them will be magic in their own way. What we're also going to be doing is going to be joined by a couple of other folk who come from different generations, because Nick, yourself and myself, we're kind of, well, let's say sort of the 70s. We kind of appreciate that sort of generation, whereas, you know, some people weren't even born in that sort of time.
Be careful here. We're talking age, Alex. We're talking age.
Nick, we don't mention the A word. We are experientially enhanced or chronologically gifted.
Really?
It's important that we actually work on that basis.
Okay.
But
as
I say,
that's a lovely
Sue Rice will be one of the people who will be joining us. We'll also be joined by Emma Tinson to get a different sort of take on the whole sequence. We won't announce the first one. We'll come back to it. I'm sure you recognise it. 30 years ago, astonishingly. We'll find out Nick Elliott's connection with this in a few moments.
It's Christmas time. There's no need to be afraid. At Christmas time, we let in light and we banish it. And in our world of plenty,
we've been joined on Sound and Nick's Years by the fabulous, or Sound and Nick's Vision, actually. There we are. He's confusing all sorts of things there. Sue Rice, welcome to the first episode and the first volume of an ongoing series for Siren 107.3 FM and, of course, beyond on other stations and services as well. And that, of course, is the Sound and Nick's Vision programme. And it's our Christmas special. Sue, you astound me because you remember Band-Aid originally.
I do. Yeah, it was really groundbreaking at the time. There was some real serious stuff going on. It was the biggest famine that the world had ever seen.
Ethiopia. Michael Burke.
And yes, and the pictures.
I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here.
Yes, yeah.
Is he really?
Yeah.
Goodness me.
Precisely.
Oh, yeah, he looks like Jungle Man.
It's as shocking as realising Bananarama have had a change of personnel as well.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, and as a small child, seeing those photograph, those film clips on the television, you know, I remember hearing sort of Bob Geldof talking about that he got to do something. He couldn't just sit in his armchair and do nothing. And it was a wonderful invention. And it just seemed to be that one day they had this idea and the next day it was done and it was out there. And anything suddenly seemed possible where you were sort of taking, you know, a long time generally to get artists involved with things. It takes a long time. This didn't seem to take very long at all. It was almost phone calls went out. It was done.
So you made a range of points there from, of course, the consumer's perspective. Nick, you share with us. I mean, the program is obviously Sound and Nick's Vision. What is your connection with the original Band-Aid single?
It is Bob Geldof.
It is Bob Geldof.
Yeah, it is, which I would have to say is one of the highlights of my career meeting the man. I think he's one of the few guys. I know he gets some really bad PR, certainly on the back of his daughters and all this kind of stuff, and even on the back of this new version of Band-Aid. The guy got out there, he did stuff, you know. He spoke, he did the job, and it wasn't so much a case of, well, as I term it, ponting off the business. He wanted to change things, and, you know, that's what was the important bit about it for me. But I was lucky enough to work with the guy and some time ago and meet him, which was a connection that came through the Blockheads with the stuff I'd done with Endurance Blockheads. Yeah, not unfortunately Ian, no. But the Blockheads, it was after the death of Ian. And Johnny Turnbull is the axeman in Bob's band. And
the Boomtown Rats.
The connection for me to work with Bob Geldof came through Johnny. And to meet Geldof, he's everything that you expect he would be. You know, he is scruffy, we'll say. You know, he has a style of his own. But his language, his whole approach to it, what you expect him to be, the language, what he uses, he's right in your face. But the guy's a top man,
Sir Bob Geldof, of course, these days.
It is. But
it's all right, it'll be Sir Nick Elliott before too long, I'm sure.
Well, I don't
once
know
this
about
programme
that.
Gets out of the ether, yeah, you'll work through that.
I'll have to have a word with Bob.
Of course. I mean, clearly, 6 years beforehand, people knew him as the lead of the Boomtown Rats,
yep.
I Don't Like Mondays, Rat Trap, so many classic songs that the Rats actually sort of gave us to the world, etc. From your photographic perspective, we talk about the vision, were you taking photographs of Bob?
Yes, I was, yeah. I did some live stuff with him, which was, believe it or not, in Market Harbour. He was booked to do, I just forget what kind of time of year it was. It's probably winter time, I think it was, around about that kind of time, November, something like that. And, you know, for me, I'm in the fortunate position I can pick up with these guys wherever I want to do it. I don't travel too far and further you need to go. You know, we can avoid that. Yeah. So I picked up with him on the harbour part of it. And it was a very special kind of one-off part of the tour for his Sex, Death and... forget what the album was.
He probably forgot himself, actually. That's point,
good album.
After Sex and Death, what do you do? It was
really the album that he came back on after the kind of issues with his marriage and, you know, the Michael Hutchins thing and all this kind of stuff, you know, which was a bloody good record. It was really good.
And in fact, I'm sure as the series proceeds, we'll be featuring a variety of things from that. But this is, of course, your Christmas special, actually, Nick.
It is.
Because it's Sound and Nick's Vision, Christmas special on Siren 107.3 FM. Sue, if I said cash register, would you actually know which song I was referring to?
I wouldn't, but I relish the opportunity to find out what it is.
Cash register. That's what it's all about. Cash register and Roy Wood. Sound and Nick's Vision is you actually have a wonderful team of researchers and top folk who sort of operate in all sorts of ways to come back with the actual name of Bob Geldof's album, which of course was, Nick,
I forgot it.
There we are, you see. It'll come through. I know. It'll be sorted through in
it's
all
not
sorts
about
of ways.
The name.
Yeah, it's the quality. Wizard.
Sex, Age and Death.
Exactly.
That's what it was.
I wish it could be Christmas every day. Sue, you remember that. It's one of those classic numbers. We've got another classic number coming up. I think you might just be able to guess what it is in the programme today. But Roy Wood, of course. Small man, Nick.
Yeah, small man shares the same day, his birthday, with me. Bit of a legend for me, really. Can I confess, that is not one of my favourite singles.
I don't think it's one of Roy's either. I mean, you know, I would go back to The Move and Blackberry Way and early Electric Light Orchestra.
Yeah, early ELO. Oh. That's really. But, I mean, the guy, like I say, he's definitely a bit of a legend. One of these kind of elusive kind of legends that has been there, but not many people really know it was Roy Wood that started it all, you know. And
I'm just thinking, is it the Technicolor beards that Roy, of course, was prone to go for?
He's still got them.
Exactly. Is that what influenced your own choice of blue and different coloured hairstyles as well?
It could have done. A younger age.
Great for radio, of course.
Indeed.
But you can obviously access that on social networking sites and those kind of things. It's important. Anyway, Sue, you remembered it. What sort of things come to mind when you think of Wizard and I Wish It Could Be Christmas Every Day, apart from the fact that surely we'd get tired of it, you know?
No, I don't think I do. It's rather like, you know, the sort of the Slade stuff. You know, when it starts coming up on the radio, it's almost like it's a signpost. Here's Christmas. Christmas is coming. You know, they pull out all the great ones every year, and it just reminds me of sort of, you know, mulled wine and snow and playing about as a small child. It brings back good memories for me.
All being well, this show will be going out in the midweek drive time slot, just sort of on Christmas Eve, I believe, or thereabouts.
Oh, that'd be nice.
It will be, exactly. Well, you know, you don't think there's going to be a live midweek drive then. In case you're wondering, don't worry. I'll be working through a whole range of things, a little promotion there. You are, of course, listening to Sound and Nick's Vision with Nick Elliott, Sue Royce, and Alex left you pressing one or two buttons here to hopefully keep things coordinated, etc. Before Nick, you know, eventually you take over, you drive the whole thing, basically, like a whirling dervish of an individual. We're keeping the rock theme going as we progress through the programme. Was there anything else you want to share about Roy Wood? I mean, we talked about his hairstyle, but I mean, in many ways, he's brought more to the world than just hairstyles.
He's brought an awful lot to the world. Like, as we said earlier, early ELO, which was really, for me, the guy's a total genius, there's no doubt about it. And funnily enough, I met him doing a one-off Christmas show he was doing. An amazing performance, it really was. You know, he got strings and wind and, you know, small orchestra with him. The guy was doing it really, really properly.
He also seemed to not just reinvent himself, but that period that we've looked at, certainly with respect to Wizard. I mean, we're kind of 10 years before Band-Aid, and we're into the 70s. We're at the heart of 1973, and power cuts, of course, three-day weeks, all those sort of things are there.
I remember all that.
And you've got glam rock that's emerging as a phenomenon in terms of that. Obviously, Wizard, David Bowie, Sweet, will be featuring in a future programme, of course.
Great.
Fantastic sort of number from that perspective. A whole range of things there. A real, people say, oh, the 70s, where was it happening? But it kind of really developed and grew the British cultural scene from what we got in the 60s.
It was a real visionary, you know, real visionary period. Nothing, I mean, certainly as far as ELO were concerned, nothing was off limits. You know, this idea that you could mix in the orchestra with electric stuff, and it was really this crucible of stuff where a whole bagload of things moved on from that.
And of course, the classic line that John Lennon is once quoted as saying that if the Beatles had stayed together, they would have ended up sounding just like ELO. And I think he was being positive about that. It wasn't a kind of derogatory thing.
Really?
It was like, because that's why Jeff Lynne worked together with George Harrison, of course, with Traveling Wilburys.
Yeah, Wilburys.
And the lines from that point of view. And what was he like as a model, Roy Wood? Was he good? Was he okay?
He's a shy guy.
Shy. Small
man.
But perfectly formed.
Yeah, indeed.
There you are.
He would agree with that.
Exactly.
But he is very small. He's only a little dot of a guy. But he is quite a shy man, considering his outrageous appearance. And, you know, for a guy that's increasing in age, you know, he still looks very good.
You mentioned the A word again there, Nick.
And
chronologically gifted.
He's still got it going on. You know, he looks
fine wine, matures with age. Mm. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, lovely.
Speaking of which, we've got some classics coming up in a few moments, but this is probably one of my own personal favourites. I kind of fell in and out of love with this particular number, much as obviously the lead singer actually does. It's Greg Lake. And once again, we'll leave the title until we come back on Sound and Nick's Vision on Siren 107.3 FM.
There'll be snow at Christmas. They said there'll be peace on earth, but instead it just kept on raining. A veil of tears for the virgin birth. I remember one Christmas morning, a winter's
late. summed up the kind of heavy rock period of the 80s for me in many ways, that sort of Greg Lake classic. But the sentiments are so, you know, they kind of woke with a yawn on a Christmas Day morn, and I saw right through him and his disguise.
I love that track.
Paraphrasing that. It is very good. Sue, does that resonate with yourself? Or is it a case of, no, it's destroyed the magic of Christmas?
No, not at all, actually. I was just thinking about what sort of, you know, age-wise, what I would be. I mean, I would probably be about, I think, five or six maybe when that came out. So I remember kind of run up to Christmas, jumping up and down to that dancing with my twin sister.
Jumping up and down to
It's a great little tune to bop to when you're a child, yes.
Obviously, that's why the Wombles aren't in here today, but never mind. That's a different line. We can only pack so much goodness into the whole thing. So your connection with Greg Lake then, and Greg Lake, Emerson, Lake and Palmer?
Yeah, it is.
Of course, yeah, fanfare for the common man.
Yeah,
amongst other things.
Indeed. And definitely quite a lot of ELP in there, in that track. But I just love the track. It's so well crafted and so well produced, and the guy took Christmas singles to another place. It actually became a crafted piece of art, you know, rather than a kind of novelty gimmicky thing, which a lot of them were and still are.
Exactly. And again, how was he as a subject for your good self?
Actually, I shot ELP at High Voltage, Big Rock Festival, 4 years ago. I saw them in their heyday, which were a legendary band, fantastic experience. Only the once, but I then went on to shoot them at High Voltage. Fantastic show, but a bit disappointing seeing how they were now. And how they were then, you know, because at the time ELP, when they actually, prior to kind of when Greg broke away and did that track, they were phenomenally big. I think one of the first bands to ever tour, I think it was either Russia or Japan. And it was a massive, massive roadshow that they put together. And I do remember they got 3 40-foot Arctics, and each one of them carried the individual musician's gear. Tons and tons of equipment. It's a mega show.
It was interesting because that period of time, certainly in the 70s, as we head up to the 80s, clearly there was the reaction in Britain against that kind of, some might say, bloating of the rock industry, that you had suddenly this mega stuff there, and obviously the punk movement was a direct kind of way of reacting against that.
Yeah.
But I suppose maybe a bit like any forms of art, it just shows that you can actually encompass both extremes, really, and you can both have a fantastic product, because I would have thought listening to Fanfare for the Common Man, it almost demands that you listen to it in a stadium, doesn't it, really? Or some sort of stadium experience?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of their stuff, certainly Pictures of an Exhibition, which was one of the five albums that I had of ELP, was essentially a classical piece of work with just their take, their rearrangements on a lot of the kind of, you know, historical stuff. Prog rock, that's what it was.
So does it inspire you as a photographer when you're listening to this music? Because one technique that photographers often use is that they actually have music in the background to put their models at ease, to put their subjects at ease, and so on and so forth. Is that a way that you actually sort of work through in terms of style?
Yeah, well, I'll do that on various different shoots, yeah. Not so much now as I used to do once upon a time. Really, time is of the essence now. You know, everybody's life is so busy, and when you work with these guys, it's madness. I mean, I'm doing some stuff with Stiff Little Fingers this coming Monday.
And it's a very gone small... by the time people are listening to this, but that's
okay. Yeah, I was forgetting that.
You'll have done it. It's sorted through.
I forgot that we were pre-recorded.
We will look at some of the future material that's coming through, because you've got some very exciting stuff that you're doing in a project that I think is we're going to hear more of, and hopefully we'll be covering on Siren 107.3 FM. And obviously it'll be featured in this very show, Sound and Nick's Years. Sounds of Nick's Vision. I'll get it sorted out here, because the original title was something
first show.
Precisely. We'll iron out these glitches and so on. But would you like to just share with the listener what you're actually going to be doing in terms of a really dramatic sort of take on how you're using your photography, but really going back to basics?
Yeah, very much so. Because my
using film,
indeed, using all traditional photographic techniques in the true sense of the art. I have a bit of an issue with, I think I've probably said this, you know, many times off mic as much as anything, that digital photography has destroyed the art. Everybody in this country thinks they're a photographer. I own a camera, I'm a photographer. Not the case at all.
Has digital music destroyed rock music?
No, not at all. No. I think it's made it better, but what it's done is giving you choice, digital music as in analog music. You know, people like obviously Jack White, who has moved a lot back into the analog type of things. A lot of the guys were going back to, they're going back to Nashville and recording stuff. Robert Plant did, you know, even Gilbert O'Sullivan's out there doing some stuff at the minute. When I was last out there, a lot of the guys were coming in, even bands like the New York Dolls. Fantastic band, the New York Dolls.
And if you can consider Gilbert O'Sullivan going from Nothing Rhyme to Alone Again Naturally, extraordinary. And those short trousers you used to wear in the 70s, amazing.
Well, let's move on. Very talented guy.
Exactly. We've talked about I Wish It Could Be Christmas Every Day. Gary Curtis, of course, is he who we'll be hearing next. And that's why, for once, I've actually sort of said we'll announce this beforehand. He's come up with something completely different. So, Gary Curtis, Sue, are you familiar with Gary Curtis?
If you play me the song, I am. Right. And this is the thing with me. I'm not necessarily about the names, but the music for me is the key. It's the music that evokes so many memories, not necessarily the name that does. So I bet if you play this now, I will know exactly who it is.
Sounds like a perfect cue to me.
Hear the bells saying Christmas is here. They ring out to tell feeling gone and less sleep. For if every day could be just like Christmas, what a wonderful world this would be.
And we've even been joined in the studio by Emma Tinson.
You're listening to Sound and Nick's Vision on Siren 107.3 FM.
Can't believe it, Nick. We're halfway through the Christmas show already. It's Christmas Eve. Hopefully those presents are being wrapped. There we are. That's a bit of contemporary sort of relationship for the whole thing. And Emma Tinson is here. How are you,
Hello.
Emma?
Hello. I'm very well, thank you.
Excellent. So let's go to Sue. What did you make of that little number that obviously sort of was there as the soundtrack for Emma Tinson as she arrives in the studio? Fashionably late, Nick, as I'm sure you sort of say. It's always important from that point of view. Of course, Gary Curtis, If Every Day Was Like Christmas.
I thought it was lovely. It sort of invoked memories of sort of eggnog, and we were just saying about sort of putting our lighters in the air as you
or
would do
phones.
On mobile phones. There. Yeah, it was
smartphones,
it was
if you can get them to work.
A real
strange.
Sort of traditional feel to it. I read it, the tune particularly was lovely.
We've taken a bit of a key change, Nick, because we're moving into a more mellow moment, but share with us Gary Curtis, for those folk who, including myself actually, aren't necessarily familiar with what GC has produced.
Well, it's actually a cover of an Elvis track. The Elvis recorded in 66. So you're probably more familiar with the Elvis version
before
than you are Gary's.
Emma and indeed Sue were actually born.
Could well be. Would I say? Or could I say?
So far we've listened to Wizard, we've listened to Band-Aid, Gary Curtis, of course, coming through from that perspective. But we've had a bit of a key change, and we're moving into a more mellow moment. And this next one actually comes out before even I was born. Amazing, you know, and possibly yourself as well, Nick. Harry Lillis, or Bing to his friends.
Indeed.
Did you ever photograph him?
No, goodness me, no.
Oh.
No.
Well, we'll be intrigued to find out what the connection is with respect to Bing Crosby and this particular choice that comes through on the Sound and Nick's Vision's first ever show, and indeed, accordingly, first ever Christmas special.
Of a white Christmas.
May your days be merry and bright,
and may all your Christmas
So does that epitomise Christmas for yourself, Nick Elliott?
Indeed it does. I think Christmas without Bing and White Christmas is just no Christmas at all.
Do you not think he's a bit uncool for a rock photographer?
Oh, God, no. No, he was he was a seriously cool hombre.
Absolutely.
Bing was.
A crooner.
Oh, dear.
Excellent.
Musically and creatively, romantically.
And you mentioned, obviously, there's a Christmas commercial connection with Gary Curtis, who we listened to earlier with Every Day He Was Like Christmas. Would you actually just share that with us?
Yeah, that's good. That was a very, well, very hard, one of the highlights of my life, actually. Because I met Gary when I was out in Nashville for the first time working out there. We ended up doing a few bits and bobs. And then early part of last year, he invited me to guest in one of his Christmas music videos, which was to lay alongside that track. And so we went along, dressed up in a Santa suit and did the full stuff and shot a day shooter to the legendary Pinewood Studios that was... That
James
was seriously.
Bond film,
oh, indeed. Indeed. It's the first thing you see when you go through
of
the
course,
gate.
Of course, 007 stage.
007 on the wall.
License to shoot.
Oh, man. And it it makes your spine tingle. It does. You know, it's one of those things that you've got to do before you die. Definitely.
We'll look towards that. In fact, we are scheduling a couple of studio visits for 2015 in the exciting outside broadcast mode. But we talked about your own particular project, and I know we're going to be focusing on that as Emma will join us. Obviously, Jessica Ward is also part of the whole setup there. Sue, Bing Crosby and White Christmas. Does it epitomise Christmas for yourself? I mean, is it going to be, you know, Holiday Inn's finest that's going to be there forevermore?
It's one of the staples of most choirs. I've sung it, and it's a lovely song to sing. It's a lovely song to listen to. It's just honest and simple. It's not complicated. It's got a lovely message to it. It's one of the things that I really look forward to singing every year. Yeah.
Emma, White Christmas?
Yeah, I actually, that song is engraved in my head because not last year, but the year before, I was employed as a Christmas elf. And
go.
It was a great job, but they played the same songs every day, and that was one of them. But I love it so much that it didn't matter. So.
Emma Tinson, the Christmas elf.
Oh,
never let me say, Nick, that we haven't rolled out the budget for this particular first show to really launch them through. What better way to celebrate Christmas Eve? Emma, if I actually said watch out for that open fire, would you have a clue in terms of what might be coming up next?
I have no idea.
Well, just watch out for that open fire.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire, Jack Frost nipping at your nose, Yuletide carols being sung by a choir, and folks dressed up like Eskimos. Everybody knows a turkey and some mistletoe help to make the season bright. Tiny tots with their eyes all aglow will find it hard to sleep tonight. They know that Santa's on his way. He's loaded lots of toys and goodies on his sleigh. And every mother's child is gonna spy to see if reindeer really know how to fly. And so I'm offering this simple phrase to kids from 1 to 92. Although it's been said many times, many ways, Merry Christmas to thank you. So I'm offering this simple phrase to kids from 1 to 92. Although it's been said many times, many ways, Merry Christmas to you.
Marvellous. Nick, another very mellow choice. I'm surprised and just a little bit astounded that we've gone all mellow on the whole thing. Oh, eggnog and such like. And obviously, I mean, you've got the chestnuts and roasting. Watch out for them in every sense of the word. So is that also engraved on your mind, Emma? Is that
Yeah, that's a nice one as well. I think that's very sort of therapeutic because it is, as you said, so mellow. And, oh, it could put me to sleep. Just a cup of hot chocolate, Christmas movie on, and that song. It's just perfect.
And who knows, it might put somebody to sleep as we're actually still working through the Christmas special of Nick's. We'll get the whole thing. You would have thought we might actually remember the name of this, the whole thing. Sound and Nick's Vision Christmas special. Sue, your thoughts on the selection there from Nat King Cole?
This is definitely a getting ready for Christmas. As a mama and a Christmas fairy who does all Sunduku, who is the one that delivers Christmas practically, apart from Father
Christmas,
of course.
Sounds as though you've got the subject of another photographic essay there, Nick.
Sounds like it.
Yeah, you know, this is you know, you put this track on as you sort of finishing off the final bits, and yeah, you're getting the hot chocolate and the, you know, the little nip in it and nice warm fire. Yeah, it's all about prep for Christmas, this song for me.
So you mentioned, Nick, about your experience at Pinewood and, yep, and that sort of system. When you've actually been setting a photo shoot up from that perspective, what's the most Christmassy one you've done?
Well, I've never actually done it. Well, I did a few when I was in the advertising business, when I used to do all our ad stuff.
But Emma's available as an elf, I gather.
Yeah, I've heard. She spoke to me off mic. If you ever need an elf,
always good.
Indeed. To know that you can get an elf and, if you need one.
And
quickly.
Particularly with respect to watch out for that open fire, because elf and safety.
Indeed.
Oh,
God. There we are. Laugh, I thought I'd never start.
There you go. I know it'd work that in some way, shape, or form. So, I mean, would you consider that, or is it a case of, as was pointed out, most of the Christmas stuff is actually recorded in June, July? This one isn't. This is being recorded at the end of November. So there we are.
This was 1946, actually. But for me, it just epitomises and sums up my childhood, Christmas childhood for me, with my parents, my brother, you know. It was what it was all about.
Precisely. Okay, 1973, we've been there once with Wizard. We're going there again with this next band. First name, Ambrose. Should have stayed as Ambrose Slade. Never not. Oh, he just kept the Slade. And of course, they actually launched in what were referred to as bother boots.
They were.
They used to wear bother boots.
They were a skinhead band.
B-O-V-V-E-R.
Well, they were several bands, actually, trying to find a place.
A place in life for Jimmy Lee, Don Powell, Dave Hill, and of course, Noddy Holder. And Dave Hill, we gather, might be persuaded to join us on one of these fabulous shows, Nick.
Yeah, Dave. Oh, man's a legend. Absolute legend. Did some work with him around about this time last year. It was quite an honour to meet the great Dave Hill. And such a nice chap. Again, a small person.
A bit like Roy Wood of Wizards.
As a lot of
taller
these guys
or
in
smaller
in
than
rock
Roy Wood?
About the same.
Really?
Yeah, about the same. Still looks good.
Suggesting that Take That might be leprechauns?
Could be.
It's the thought.
Could be.
Westlife obviously are. But still, that's another issue in another time. Merry Christmas, everyone. Clearly one of those other evocative moments of Christmas and so on. Emma, thoughts?
I love that one. It is an absolute favourite. And as Sue was saying, it is a party song, definitely. And you know that Christmas is coming around when that song plays.
Yeah, it's the staple of every school Christmas party everywhere. It's that and the conga is always, they're the two songs that are guaranteed. Yeah, the conga is always.
Conga with Santa hats.
Yeah. We used to storm our staff room when the conga came on. We used to go around the school and it was the only time we were ever allowed in staff room.
You stormed the staff room. Yes. Now, I mean, clearly, obviously, we're going out on Siren 107.3 FM. It's Lincoln's award-winning first community radio station, East Midlands Radio Station of the Year. There we are. Always like to do a bit of corporate production, Sue, as you know. It's very important. Tick that box. But you are indeed the only one of us who's actually a local Lincoln Less, Sue. Is that what you used to do, storm the classroom at Christmas?
we used to have our...
Happened in Surrey, did it, Emma?
No, everyone from Surrey's a good girl. Definitely.
Yes, it was almost, certainly at Skegness Grammar, it was a tradition, and that was it. We were so, I suppose, really, it was so traditional the rest of the year, that it was that time of year, it was sort of the authority was kicked back a bit and you were allowed to maybe rebel just a little bit. So the conga, it was traditional, that the conga went round the school and it finished off with going right through in the middle of the staff room and back down to the main hall. It was one of the few occasions where we were allowed in the staff room.
Sounds great fun.
It was truly wonderful.
Skegness Grammar.
Yeah, I've got that in my head. Skegness Grammar.
Yes.
Is that, doesn't that sound sexy?
It's Britain's first maintained grammar school in 1989. Yeah.
Really?
Yes, it was.
And I bet when we did the pre-production on this show, Nick, we never actually thought we'd end up with Sound and Nick's Vision including Skegness Grammar.
I bet you didn't.
Whoa.
Bit of glamour in Skeggy, can't beat that. Astoundingly, we have actually reached the end of your first show.
Really, is that it?
We have reached the end of the Christmas special. Damn. Of Sound and Nick's Vision. There, I got it right twice. And of course, our co-presenters, Emma Tinson and Sue Royce, who've been kind enough to join us today, and probably will be emerging as the series proceeds because we'll be doing a whole range of things as this develops. How can people get in touch with us, Nick, in terms of social media and such like? Do they just type in Nick Elliott, rock photographer?
Yeah, they can Google me. They can do all that stuff. You follow me on Twitter at Nick Elliott Rock, or go to the press office, which is www.nickelliott.info, and that's my press office. Everything's on there. You can hear a lot of these interviews again, a lot of the shows,
exactly.
Various different interviews that I've done, TV, radio. It's all on there, and lots of news about me and what I'm doing.
Precisely, which is all we need to know. And of course, they might, interactivity, people might have sort of artists, they might say, have you featured this? Would you like to talk about that? I mean, just looking at some of the artists that will be coming up, The Cult, Animals, Hazel O'Connor, Golden Earring, Level 42, The Sweets, Slade Again, The Who, Guns N' Roses, Rod Stewart. Some interesting names there, Emma. Yeah, interesting names, which we'll be introducing.
Right, bands.
I thought it was Dave Hill just coming to actually wish us Happy Christmas. But it is our Christmas special for Sound and Nick's Vision. So I think it's up to your good self, Nick, to wish the listener a Happy Christmas before we go out with the boys of New York City, NYPD, shall we say, singing Galway Bay.
I would like to wish everybody a safe and happy Christmas and have a kicking new year. Lots of goodness for everybody.
And, of course, the new series, which launches on Siren very soon, of course, in January, with the Sound and Nick's Vision. Sue, would you like to join in those Christmas greetings?
I would, yes. I'd like to wish everybody a really happy, peaceful and prosperous Christmas. And we'll see you all in the new year.
And Emma?
Have a fantastic Christmas and a very, very good new year.
Testing stuff. So we held this back for you because you said, Pogues, you know. Yes,
this
exactly.
is my absolute favourite Christmas
I clearly
track.
would counsel Nick, do not go to the translation of what this means and translates in the original Gaelic because it would get us taken off air immediately. So we're not going to do that at all. But it is, of course, the Pogues. And share with us, have you worked with the band before? Have you?
Shane McGowan.
Yes.
Exciting. To say the least.
Exciting.
I'll bet.
Exciting. No, really, really. But possibly the most intimidating and somewhat frightening experience of my life. A Shane McGowan gig. You would not believe. You would not believe. I've stood in many a festival, 120,000, 150,000 people. But a venue with 2,000 people, Shane McGowan fans, dear, oh, dear. Dear, oh dear.
And how did he react to a photographer?
I know, they're amazingly friendly, but it's on the edge of a war zone.
They're full on.
Really? It's on the edge of a war zone. And it was a horrendous experience because half hour before the show started, nobody even knew where Shane McGowan was. He wasn't even in the building.
Right.
And he was that drunk.
Rock and roll.
That the police
Glad
actually
the term
drove
drunk
him.
There, by the way. Very good. Nice.
Drove him to the venue and literally wheeled him on stage. And when he comes on stage, he cannot stand. I kid you not, he cannot stand.
Oh, my gosh.
And he's walked on stage. His props are a stool with two or three bottles of wine and a bottle of vodka on. And he consumes that like throughout the show. And the guy is note word perfect. But he can't stand. And he needs two guys to bring him on to show him where the mic stand is and place him in front. And then he slaps into it. He does his show. And the guy is top draw. Top draw. You would not believe what you're seeing.
Needless to say, we wouldn't necessarily endorse that, but Emma, an interesting insight, I'm sure you'll agree, in terms of rock and roll lifestyle.
Definitely.
That's it. We're out of here. It's the end of the first show, the Christmas special of Sound and Next Vision. More in 2015. Happy Christmas and a great new year. Here are the Pogues.
There was Christmas Eve, babe, in the drunk tank. An old man said to me, won't see another one. And then he sang a song, the rare old mountain tune. I turned my face away.